restoring vitality to you and to the nano minerals of the world. I'm your co-host Scott Patton along with Martin Patella, and if you were listening to us last time, we were discussing the spiritual ramifications of nano minerals, in other words, monoatomic, one atom, monoatomic gold, silver, and all these other types of minerals that, even though it's like sounds highly scientific, space age, sci-fi, all that sort of stuff, occur naturally in the environment. And it's the basis for a lot of the alchemy. The ancient alchemists would be looking for this because they felt it was like the philosopher's stone, the gateway to a higher spiritual
consciousness.
And that, yeah, that's right, a higher consciousness. And in everything that we've found in the research that I've done and that Martin has done suggests that they're on the right track. So one of the questions that I had, Martin, for us, and I wanted to ask this right off the hop before I forgot, was, you know, we've got this like monoatomic silver or colloidal silver is something that I see in the stores, and I'm kind of confused about the two. And so are they the same? Are they different? What's the scoop?
They're very different. They're as different as, well, think of carbon. It exists as charcoal, and it also exists as diamonds.
Right.
It's just pure carbon. Or, you know, in case of the gold, the yellow metal gold that you use in jewelry is, you know, just metal, and the monatomic gold is like glass, and its properties are very, very different. So in a similar manner, colloidal silver is made from metallic silver, and it's made by you apply an electric electrodes, or you use silver electrodes and you apply electric currents to them. And as the silver slowly dissolves into tiny particles, that's what you create, the colloidal silver there. And the properties of that is that small organisms like viri, how do you pronounce the plural of virus? I guess viri, and bacteria, and even some single-cell organisms like Giardia and other protozoans, they don't really do too well in presence of silver. It shuts down their breathing mechanism, and so they stop being able to continue their existence. So that's why you would use colloidal silver. It's nature's antibiotic. Whereas the monatomic silver would be a very, very different experience. That has to do with consciousness. It doesn't conduct electricity, doesn't exist in the form that we're discussing.
Interesting. So if someone has a viral infection of some sort or problems with bacteria, colloidal silver would be a good thing to put on it as opposed to some of the medicated ointments that the pharmaceuticals put out?
Well, you know, if you have a surface infection, polysporin would be a common topical that would kill off the infection on the surface. Colloidal silver will do something very similar. Also, if you have a throat infection, let's just say that you have a strep throat, you could gargle with antibiotics or you could gargle with colloidal silver. If you have a venereal disease, you know, like, I don't know, some nasty thing. I don't want to give people suggestions, but you could kill it off either with antibiotics or with colloidal silver.
That's fascinating.
Yeah,
but
it is.
When you want to get to a higher level of consciousness, you don't want colloidal silver, you want monatomic or ionic silver.
Right. Well, that's, okay, now here we're getting into some other crazy language. People have need to understand the difference between colloidal and ionic. A colloid is a suspension of particles in a liquid. Like your blood is a colloid, milk is a colloid. What we have here?
Mud is a colloid.
Muddy water, yeah. Because what we have here is a suspension of particles in a liquid medium.
And a particle is a lot of molecules and atoms. It's not a single atom.
Right, it's clumped together. It's like if you took a sheet of paper, you'd be ripping off little bits and pieces out of that sheet of paper. You have bits, right?
Mm-hmm. That's right.
Now, colloidal. That's colloidal. Ionic means dissolved, which means that the bonds in the molecules that you start from have been disassociated. Let's just use an example of common salt. Sodium chloride, if you dissolve it in water, it goes ionic, then you have a salty soup.
Yes.
If it's in its molecular state, you will have the salt crystals still in your shaker. So when sellers of different supplements talk about ionic supplements, what they're saying is that their minerals are dissolved into the ionic state. So you may have started with calcium carbonate, which is your most common chalk, and then you have to react that calcium carbonate with some sort of a acid where the calcium comes apart from the carbonate ion, and then you have Ca++, which is the calcium ion, and then you have the other part like SO4+, which would be the sulfuric acid ion taken apart. Okay?
Got it.
It's a chemical explanation. Ionic is easier to absorb because anything that's in liquid in an ionic form, it can be absorbed in your cellular structure readily. It's not quite so with colloids. Colloids need to be digested if there are organic substances in it, or is indigestible, like the colloidal silver. You do not digest the bits of silver. They are actually just simply floating through your body until you, God willing, pee it out.
Right.
You don't want them to stay, because if they're going to stay in your body, you're going to end up with this nasty thing called argyria, which means that you turn your skin blue.
Oh. Okay.
You probably missed that show on Oprah, huh?
I did.
Yeah, there was one guy, he made quite the history because he made it as far as being on Oprah's show. Because he, it's a funny guy, he's in his 50s, and he truly is blue, like Smurf, you know, like, really. And he was explaining how it came about. He said, you know, I had skin infections all my life, just terrible skin. So when I started using colloidal silver, first I took it internally, that improved my things quite a bit, and then I started using it externally. And that took care of these infections, and my skin started improving. I got it in my head that if a little bit was a good thing, a whole bunch more is going to be even better. Well, so he was taking 1,000 times the recommended dosage, and he was practically bathing in the stuff.
And it turned his skin blue.
Absolutely. He's now known as Papa Smurf.
Now, if he stopped taking it, would his skin revert back to normal?
Nope.
Oh, it's
he's
like
permanently, he's blue, he's Smurf.
Oh, wow.
Oh, yeah, no, he's exotic. Whenever he enters room, heads turn.
I guess.
Huh. Oh, yeah, he's different.
Cool. So, Martin, we talked about nanominerals last time, and now I understand the difference between like the monoatomic silver and the colloidal silver. But you'd also mentioned that this thing called ormus. So what is ormus?
Well, it's an acronym, stands for orbitally rearranged monatomic elements. That was something that David Hudson put together, and it existed under other names. There's a name in Egyptian which actually is translated as "What is it?" And in biblical language, the word manna has been used to describe that.
So manna from heaven?
Yeah, manna from heaven. In fact, for instance, when there's a story in the Old Testament where Moses collects gold from his people and burns it, and it then feeds it to them.
Mm. So how could that be if it was gold bricks that we have, right?
Right. First of all, you might wonder that people were thinking that some kind of an allegorical statement, or that it is something that we cannot understand. But once we understand about one atomic gold and alchemy, it's actually described literally. It's just common story. Like, Moses took some gold, took it up on Mount Horeb, and did his stuff, did his alchemical process on it, because he was master of the craft. And, craftsman, master of the craft. Well, it was the craft of spiritual practice and alchemy.
Yeah.
And he was able to feed it to his people and make them very healthy. They could last on next to nothing in their meanderings in the desert.
Yeah, because there was very little food.
That's right. So, the point being, this stuff is what makes us healthy. Animals seek it out. Plants seek it out. When you find volcanic soils that are rich in this ormus material, they grow the most healthful produce. You have red wine produced in France, which is grown in these basalt volcanic soils of Massif Central. The French farmers, the wine drinkers, should be getting sick from all the alcohol they consume, but no, instead, they're doing just fine, thank you. And then people start discovering these, produce or fruits that make people healthy. Noni juice from Tahiti.
Right.
Or aloe vera juice from Arizona. There's this enormous band of volcanic soils that runs through eastern Washington. There's all kinds of stuff grown there that grows much better than in any other soil. We buy actually a lot of the ingredients for the Exula superfoods from there. And we have been well aware for the longest time about the presence of the monatomic, rhodium, iridium especially, in produce. And so when we use alfalfa from the fields that are rich in ormus, its healthful properties are enormous compared to something grown in soils that are poor in the monatomics.
Right. Wow.
Yeah, wow. So I would like to return back to the conversation about what it could do to one's consciousness.
Yes.
We were talking about if a little bit does you some, a whole lot should do you, right? Not so. It's like plugging an appliance that's wired for 120 into a 220 volt outlet. You just spin it out of control. it's broke.
That's right.
So similarly with this, we don't encourage people to take more than what they can handle.
And nobody wants to have blue skin.
Well, no, that's the colloidal silver story.
Oh, yeah, right.
But even with these monatomics, if 1 teaspoon a day is the recommended dose, you could expect from it to, have elevated consciousness. This thing is spiritual, not religious. You need to understand that this has no religious content whatsoever. It doesn't matter what your persuasion is or who you call your prophet or who you want to follow. This simply gives you the ability to be in touch with the higher self, with the spirituality at a better rate, or at a greater, shall I say, intensity.
Yeah. And the truth is that a lot of the ancient writings, they knew about this stuff, and they wrote about it, as you were talking with Moses, in a literal fashion, which then, because we couldn't believe that they were talking literally, we thought, well, they must be a parable or something.
Mm-hmm. Yes. So if you were, instead of taking a teaspoon a day, take a whole bunch more, you will start seeing some strange changes. In 1996, when I first learned to concentrate the ormus, I thought, well, I'll see just what the tolerance levels are before I start telling people about it. So instead of one teaspoon a day, I was taking six or eight. And it didn't take me too long before I started getting these strange things, like I started hearing people's thoughts. Mm-hmm. You know, like all of a sudden, I don't know what you'd call it, I knew what you were, I suppose, I knew what the other people in the room were thinking. And it's hugely distracting. Right. Number one, I want to tell you, it's really boring. Most thoughts people have are as boring as watching news on television, or worse. And the second thing is, it's distracting. I mean, it's like, you know, 5-6 people in the room, it's like noise.
It's a
everybody
noise.
Talking. Everybody talking at the same time.
Right. So, like when you go to a party and there's 20 people in the room and you have all these conversations going on and it's just kind of this sound. And it's very hard to concentrate.
That's right. And the other thing that started happening with me is I was pretty much having to be in the here now, in the instant now moment. I was very blissful. I was wanting to sort of be in touch with the Creator, or, you know, pursue spiritual, just be in touch with the higher self, you know, be in touch. I mean, it would be perfect for me to take that and take off into the Himalayan hills somewhere in a cave where somebody would just bring me a bowl of rice every day and I would just contemplate my navel. That would be just a perfect setting for that. But it sure was very distracting as far as running a business, because I was having to write myself a note such as, if the phone rings, pick it up. It was, you know, like I would be in a conversation with somebody else and couldn't remember anything other than what's in my mind right now. Had to make notes about everything. Mm-hmm. Couldn't remember from one moment to the next.
You're not necessarily able to function well in our society.
Not with an overdose of that, no. It's perfect for, just giving it all up and heading off to the hills and, pursuing the spirituality. I mean, if I were able to retire into a monastery, it'd be just the greatest thing. Mm-hmm. But that really wasn't the situation for me. At that point, I had two kids and a wife to look after. I mean, I still have that, but so I had to cut back. It didn't take too long for it to wear off. You know, we naturally wear it off. I think it just comes out in the sweat and in the urine and whatever. It leaves the body.
Right.
And I think that's why we eat. You know, like we eat stuff so that we can get more of this ormus material back into our bodies.
Yeah, yeah.
And so we need to eat produce that's grown in soils that are rich in ormus. That's what we're after. So there are all kinds of healing stories, you know, that come from people taking a reasonable amount of the ormus. People get better from every sort of condition of degenerative condition, like arthritis or fibromyalgia or cancer or MS, multiple sclerosis, or I mean, you can name just about any condition that's caused by a human body falling apart. That's the Armas type of supplement.
Puts it back together?
Well, it helps the body to repair the damage at the DNA level. Somehow the cells that are dividing and multiplying incorrectly, you know, as a tumor or as a, you know, like in case of MS, you know, your nerves are losing their ability to carry the signal correctly. Well, all of a sudden, they start being able to repair themselves, and again, the signaling is okay, and then you're able to walk again, your ability to keep balance is returned, and all that. I mean, I don't remember now exactly the detail, but I remember that the stories shared with us were, you know, people would be able to give up their wheelchairs that they were confined into because of multiple sclerosis. It just, it all came back.
Wow.
Yeah. Right thinking returns. I had an experience with eating a lot of algae, you know, blue-green algae from the Klamath Lake. We have that brand selling it on our website as the E3 Live algae. Mm-hmm. Klamath Lake is well known for the richness of the minerals that are in the lake. You know, it's the glacial runoff from the mountains all around it, which are of volcanic origin. So there's a lot of minerals in the lake, and undoubtedly a lot of them monatomic. So I think it's about 20 years ago I started taking the blue-green algae, and all of a sudden so many things that were wrong with me, you know, health-wise, started to correct themselves. And starting from consciousness, starting with my thinking, you know, all of a sudden, my ability to reason, my ability to actually know what's right, improved tremendously. And I think it had a lot to do with the Armas content of the food.
Wow, sure, your mind would be clearer, you'd be more connected to. I believe there's a universal mind, right?
Yes. Yeah, and I think that creatures in the ocean do something similar. You know, I believe that the coral and the pearl, you know, the shellfish, are doing the same thing. When they're building their bodies, they're actually assembling it in the calcium, you know, matrix, which is like the chalk matrix. But they really are pulling together and concentrating the armas within their bodies. So when the coral calcium craze started about 10 years ago, I don't know if you remember people were getting better from just taking coral calcium. And the marketers of the product were promoting it's the calcium. But I think they were wrong. I think it's the armas that made the difference. Mm. I mean, calcium is needed in the body. But I think it had much more to do with the armas rather than with the calcium itself.
Interesting.
Yeah.
So where could we get some armas if we wanted to? You sort of alluded to a couple of things, but...
Well, I mean, I would prefer if people bought it from Life Enthusiast Co-op. It would be found in the products, nanominerals. We have several of them. You know, the simplest way to get it would be to take some Himalayan salt and start practicing the Soleil, the brine therapy, mm-hmm. where you take a teaspoon of the concentrated brine, because, you know, the whole natural salt does have a content of the armas in it. It's not quick, but after a year or two of the use, people start noticing all kinds of positive changes in their body.
Cool. Well, and that's, you made a really good point when you said it's not quick, because it can be very jarring to, you know, jump from one level to another level, and you want to do it in a, you know, because no one wants to be like enlightened, you know, immediately, because you're no longer able to, you know, function in society, right?
Oh yeah, for sure. You go from being a regular guy to being a high consciousness being. Pretty much, you have to say goodbye to the life as you knew it. Definitely, you know, if your friends are, hey man, let's go watch some football and drink some beer. That's just not going to be very attractive to you anymore once you're on
a spiritual high.
Yeah. It just doesn't work anymore. So anyway, there they are, you know, these minerals. You can go to lifeenthusiast.com, life-enthusiast.com, under products, minerals, nanos, and armas. There are several of them listed.
Great. And do we have a special gift for our listeners?
Oh, yes. We set up something, the ORM77. That will get you 10% off for everything Ormus.
Wonderful.
It's an enormous discount.
You're knocking him dead today, Martin.
Oh, I tell you, I'm so witty, I could almost slap myself.
So if somebody wanted to talk to you more about any particular health issues that they've got or questions they may have about Ormus or minerals or any of these other topics that we talked about in our previous podcast episodes, how could they get a hold of you?
Well, I'm sitting here waiting for the phone to ring at 1-866-543-3388. And my direct line on my desk is 775-299-4661. And, of course, I would welcome people to listen to our other podcasts there on lifeenthusiast.podomatic.com. And more importantly, if somebody's listening to this, I would like them to post some questions in there. I mean, I hope that I'm covering the right topics, but it would help to know what people are thinking as they're listening to this.
That's right. We'd love to get your feedback. Let us know if you've got any questions, if you've what you like about the shows, any topics that you'd like us to cover. If there's specific topics and issues you'd want us to cover, we'd be delighted to talk about them some more too.
Mm-hmm. We must be doing something right, because the number of listeners is constantly going up.
That's right. Yeah, we're one of the top health podcasts on Podomatic right now.
Good. About time. We've been at it for 2 years.
Yeah, we're finally hitting our stride.
So
next time, Martin, I think we will go into some more detail about the nanominerals and the Ormus. I know that that section has a whole pile of really fascinating stuff, including some talk about the Bovis scale and water and things like that I really want to go over in more detail with all our listeners, because I just find it absolutely amazing. And it's interesting, I think there's some connection there with some of the stuff that Dr. Emoto talks about with the secret life of water, you know, the crystals.
Oh, there's just so much strange stuff going on. Just as a sidebar here, Ormus or nanominerals seem to like tight spaces. They like to hide in something that's laminar. You know, laminar as in a book is laminar when you lay it on the side. The pages are layers.
Yes.
And Ormus would love to hide between the pages.
Oh.
So, for instance, the laminar crystal that we use in our energy charging, which is, you know, a form of mica. And I don't know if you remember mica from your childhood when it was still available in big chunks. You could see how it was sort of layered. I mean, it's like a book, or like plywood type of thing.
Hmm.
And or for instance, the crystals that we sell, you know, the magnesium chloride crystals.
Yes.
They actually are not naturally just MgCl2. It's actually MgCl2.6 times H2O, meaning that mineral exists as a hexahydrate in its most natural form. So that means that every molecule of this of this salt is actually holding six molecules of water all around itself.
Oh, okay.
So, you know, if you look at the flakes of, if the picture of the snowflakes that Imhotep took, where you see how all of them are symmetrical, you know, the shape of the snowflakes, it's all in the hexagonal format.
Mm-hmm.
Well, similarly with this magnesium chloride, that all is also all of that hexagonal format. It's all layered, holding the armus within itself, all in this natural six-sided universe.
Huh.
Which reminds me of the bees, you know, when they build their honeycombs, that's all six-sided as well.
Right.
You know, what do they know? You know, is there a high level of armus in the pollen of the flowers? I wouldn't
right.
be surprised. I wouldn't be surprised, because it is the consciousness. And what is seed if not consciousness of the plant?
Yeah. Interesting. The whole thing just becomes more and more fascinating the deeper and deeper we get into it.
Mm-hmm. Yes, these are good seeds for meditations. Let us meditate.
And on that, folks, we'll see you all next week. You've been listening to the Life Enthusiast Co-op online meditation podcast, restoring vitality to you and your voice.
I hope you're having fun with me.
We are.
I'll talk to you next time.